Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to take up the subject, the secret of peace in our lives, as it is presented to us in the Scriptures. And we're going to be talking about our peace with God, and then we're going to talk about the peace of God that can possess us, and then we're going to talk about the God of peace that gives us the peace, that's responsible for it, and who maintains it. Now, we want to keep these things in order that we might realize that we can have that peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace, and he bought peace at the expense of the blood of his cross. And that peace is ours. We should appropriate it. We should use it. It should possess us in our lives. All right, let's talk about our peace with God first of all. In Romans 5 and 1, we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Notice the pronoun, with God. "Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." All right, we need peace with God because we're sinners. God's Word tells us very, very plainly that we are sinners. We read in the Scripture, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Listen to what the Word of God says about the fact that we're sinners. In Romans 3 and 23, we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us, if you please. In John 16, 8 and 9, the Lord says of the Holy Spirit, when he was coming into this world to indwell us, "When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, convict them of their sin, and of righteousness and of judgment, and sin of sin, because they believe not on me." Now, we will not really seek or appreciate Christ as Savior till we have that conviction of sin, that we have sinned, and that barrier is between us and God, and that barrier needs to be removed. And that barrier is removed the moment that we put our faith in God's Word, as we read there in Romans 10 and 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." When we put our trust in God's Word and believe what He says, because He says what He means and He means what He says, if we believe it, that Christ has paid the debt of our sins, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, completely satisfied the holiness of God, honored it by dying for you and for me. When we believe that and rest in the perfect finished work of Christ and give up our trying to be saved, make ourselves fit for heaven, it's just so wonderful to think that we get this by faith, simply believing the work that saves is done. It's accomplished on the cross. It's just there to be appropriated by faith, by you and me, that we might realize and appreciate it. God's Word tells us that God loves us. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in 1 John 3 and 1, we read there, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." God's Word tells us that Christ died for our sins. Will we believe it? Will we rest there and say, "Thank God, the price of sin has been paid, and paid in blood by our Lord Jesus Christ. And God assures us from his Word that we are saved when we trust Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We read in John 5 and 24, that wonderful verse, in John's Gospel, and oh, John does bring forth the Gospel so beautifully. We read in John 5 and 24, "Verily, verily," and the Lord is the speaker, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word," you see, it's the word of God, "will he lie to us? No. And believeth on him that sent me to die on that cross, hath present possession everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That is the secret of peace with God, simply believing his word. Now we can talk about the peace of God. It is found in the fourth chapter of Philippians. Now notice, please, it's not peace with God this time. It's the peace of God. Now I'm going to make a startling statement. We can have peace with God and not have the peace of God. Somebody says, well, please elucidate. Please explain that one. All right, the peace of God can possess our hearts, and I think probably this is the peace that we really appreciate. Let's read, if you please, there, that wonderful verse. Well, actually, two verses in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, here is Paul's writing by the Spirit, of course, to the Philippians. "Be careful for nothing. Be full of care over nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord." The peace of God. Now, the peace of God is based on commitment. We take our burdens to the Lord, and sometimes we carry them right back out of his presence. We want to leave them there. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. You don't have to be. But in everything, we're so inclined to bring the big things to God and carry the little things ourselves. Well, let me tell you this. The little things will sink us. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you notice it? "And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus by committing our troubles to him." We need to do that. And the peace of God will not possess us until we just get it into his presence. We want to get into the presence of God and tell him our needs. There is such a peace that comes with unburdening our hearts to somebody else. It's called the therapeutic value, if you can stand this, the therapeutic value of a mental catharsis. Excuse me. It means telling God everything. When you go to the psychiatrist for help, he wants you to tell him everything. He wants you to tell him what's troubling you. God wants to hear everything from you and from me. It's a one-on-one situation. God says, tell me about it. And oh, when you tell him about it, you're talking to somebody that can do something about it. You can take your troubles to your friends. Thank God they can pray for you. But they can't give you peace. And the peace of God comes with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is going to undertake for us. Our friends can't control circumstances. The Lord can. I think we should just pray to God for everything that we need. I'll have to make a confession. Sometimes I pray to God if I've lost a paper and I need to find it. Somebody says, trouble the God of the universe that has to run a universe and trouble him with finding a piece of paper for you? Yes. He's God, remember. He is God. He can run the universe. He is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He takes care of everybody in the world. And there's a whole God for me in that statement, in that realization. He is God, and I am the creature. All right. Now, when I commit everything, the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hearts, remember, and minds. It will set us at rest. All right, let's consider the God of peace. Now in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, we read, these things, Paul is writing this on the authority of the Scripture and the authority of the Spirit of God, Listen, please. These things which ye have both learned and heard and received and seen in me, and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace, God of peace, shall be with you. Now it's the God of peace this time. This is the one that furnishes the peace. This is the one that gives us the peace. I'm going to read that verse again. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Capital D. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, did you notice that peace with God depends upon faith? The peace of God depends upon our commitment of our needs to Him. And now the God of peace depends, our knowing the God of peace depends upon our obedience. Did you hear what Paul said? Those things which you have learned, received, and heard, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We will not feel the God of peace in His presence if we don't do His will. If we just say, well, I'm going to fend for myself. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to be with us. He wants to do for us. And we'll not know the God of peace until we commit our troubles to Him. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but peace. He's the author of it. The God of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. We read in Romans 15 and 33, now the God of peace shall be with you. We read in Hebrews 13, if you please, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. Now here we go. The God of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know the God of peace? If we do, His peace will characterize us. Are we obeying Him? The obedient child doesn't have peace, does he? The disobedient child, I'm sorry. The obedient child is the one that has peace. We will know the God of peace when we obey Him and are in fellowship with Him. Our Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, impress these truths on our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.